But we just want to get into what Pastor Jim talked about, the reason why we're here. Another area that we teach on out on the road is the ministry of helps. I've just been in the helps my whole life, and so we're going to define that here just a little bit this morning. We just want to encourage you, though, about finding the plan of God for your life. And today, we're going to apply it directly to getting involved in the church. There's a number of reasons we teach on this. For one reason, just in my own personal record and testimony, I received the call to ministry whenever I was 6 years old. Knew I wanted to go to Bible school. My parents actually pastored a church. And so we were originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but we went to Bible school. So my parents moved us out there to Oklahoma. And so my dad pastored a church in Oklahoma. Pastored for a handful of years before he passed away. And so when your dad is the pastor of the church, you automatically are a volunteer in the church. There's no list for you to sign up on. I don't know if I didn't want to be there. If there's a service, you're just there. But I was okay with that because I knew I was called to the ministry. So then my father passed away, and I knew that didn't change, you know, my position, my story, where I was going. Went to Bible school. So there in Bible school, then I just knew I needed to get involved somewhere. The question wasn't, should I get involved? The question was, where am I going to get involved? So I had the opportunity to usher for a couple years. And God was good to me because my father just passed away when I was 16. So a couple years later, you know, I'm just in with a bunch of men, you know, and that's where I wanted to know. So where did all the men go? That's where I'm going to go volunteer. And I was there for a couple of years and loved it, had the opportunity to volunteer in children's for a year. And then the opportunity came to volunteer in the youth department for 11 years, 2 months, 2 weeks, and 4 days. Who's keeping track? I don't know. Opportunity also came to work at this ministry, work there for the Bible school. So I worked there for over 8.5 years, and I started out cutting the grass. Now, again, I recognized the call to ministry when I was 6 years old, had an occasion with God where he had anointed me. But the first opportunity to open up to work at the church was out on the grounds. I was planting flowers, you know, pulling weeds, picking up trash. That's not the dream that I had on the inside, trust me. And yet that's where I started. See, so many times we've got a dream, you've got something. That's not the starting line. Okay? There's a dream in your heart, but many times, though, that's like, I'm down here in the valley, and I see up on the mountain, right? And somehow, I just want to lift to the top. Isn't that what we want? I just want to get me to the top. But I didn't realize I'm going to walk through this. And so I was there at that ministry for over 10 years after I graduated Bible school. Do you realize how long that is? Like in minister years, you know, we've got human years and we've got dog years, and then we've got people years and we've got minister years. To be at Bible school for 10 more years, do you realize how many graduates came through and went on and they were like preaching? And I'm still here at the ministry. We would have a big meeting every year in the spring, actually in February, Winter Bible Seminar. And so because I worked there at the ministry, they would ask all of us to do the parking lot. And don't you know, the Holy Ghost is good. He knows right where you are. He's in control of your training, of your preparation. And so my boss put me all the way at the front, at the top, right in the beginning. Everyone who came on campus came by me. I've got flashlights, and I'm like directing you to come this way. And then when you leave, all, you know, thousands of cars leave, you go right by me. Man, the Holy Ghost put me right there, you know. It's humbling. It's humbling when you're standing there. You know that you're called to the ministry. You know you're called to preach. And yet right now you're directing people, you know. But pastors are driving in. Missionaries from all over the world are driving in. And I'm in the parking lot telling them, park this way, come that way. I was there for years. And yet God just kept working on me and preparing me and working on me and preparing me. So I've been traveling now on the road for 11 years, but I've been dreaming about this for a long time. I've got a message today on Ministry of Helps, but I've been preparing this for decades on the inside. Moved up, got promoted from the grounds. I got an inside job. Now in Oklahoma, that's a great deal during the summer. You want an inside job. I would imagine it's probably like the opposite of like your winters, you know? You don't want to be outside in the winter. Not too bad in Oklahoma. It's easy, you know. We get snow every other year, you know. Comes one storm, 9 inches, shuts down the whole city, you know. 3 days later, the snow melts and it's easy. But the summer's a different story, you know. It's this summer we had over 110 degrees, you know. Sometimes we'll have 110. Last summer we had it for a stretch of like two straight weeks. It was over 110 every single day. I was out with my friend. It was the only time we had to get together, and we like to play golf. It was 116 degrees that day playing golf. We were the only guys on the course. Kind of question our sanity there. But I got promoted off of that into an indoor job. That's when I was working with the setup crew. We'd set up luncheons and dinners and all kinds of events, you know, for 1,500 people, 2,000, 3,000, 3,500 people. And it's there where I just began to learn about the plan of God, how God does things. I began to learn about how to work with people. And so here I am out on the road just teaching on the ministry of helps. I just kind of looked to see what was in my heart years ago. And this is one area. So I go all over the country, even all over the world, just teaching on helps, encouraging you to get involved. And there's a number of reasons why. Number one is because the church needs you. We need you. To turn your neighbor, tell them, we need you. Why don't you turn to your other neighbor and say, we really need you. You've got gifts and talents that are on the inside of you, and you need to develop those. And I believe that the ministry of the local church is the perfect environment for you to get involved. Out there on the job, you may or may not be doing what you love. They may be looking to develop you in different areas, but when you come into the church, you've got the opportunity to learn new areas, to find those talents, those abilities. And see, when you come into the church, you're in an environment where these people are for you. And so when you come into an area, people that are able to recognize the talents on the inside of you. And what that does is that will confirm the gift, right? Confirm what you have on the inside of you. And then we're looking for you. You've got an opportunity to invest in the kingdom of God. Another area is good being involved in the local church is because when you take money out of the equation, come on now. See, on the job, we get you to do whatever we want to because we're going to pay you. Your boss says, I want you here at 5 a.m. You say, well, that doesn't really work good. He said, I'll pay you. Okay, I'll be there. Right? But in the church, right, we're not paying you to come. And so when you have the opportunity, we have the opportunity to work on our people skills. We've got to actually be nice to people. We've actually got to learn how to work together with people. And so it gives the opportunity just to do so much and learn so much. God has given you an ability. You need to develop. We need that. And so we see in the Word of God, and turn with me in Colossians. We're going to look at a handful of verses this morning. Colossians chapter 1. So what we're going to apply today is in the local church, a lot of these points are appropriate just in life, on the job, with people. We want to define this, though, here in the beginning. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, Paul is writing to a group of people he had not visited yet. Colossians 1, 3, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also doing among you since the day you heard and knew of the grace of God in truth. So Paul is saying, we've been praying for you ever since we heard, number one, that you heard the word of God, the word of truth, but he says you also understood it. He said it's that gospel that's producing fruit. Do you see, he said there, the gospel is what produces fruit. So when we're going to talk about the ministry of helps today, number one, we need to understand that the word of God is what changes people. The word of God is what is going to change your life, change their lives. And so what we want, the goal of the church today is to get people in contact with the word of God. That is what makes the difference. It's the word of God. How did you get born again? You heard the word of God. How have you received healing in your life? You heard the word of God. But what we found, though, is that in today's society, even in particular, not not everyone is ready just for you to give them a scripture verse. Sometimes people come into the church and sometimes they just need a sandwich. People aren't always ready. So the ministry of helps comes in and it supports the word of God. In fact, the ministry of helps is that point of contact where people meet the word. Let's just look here in the building this morning. Someone came early and got the building to be a good temperature. Aren't you glad? Right? Imagine if you came in and it was freezing. Take your attention away from the word of God. The word of God is what is going to change you. Someone came in and set up the chairs. Man, isn't it great that you get to sit up? Someone else faced the chairs forward. See, sometimes you take these things for granted. As a minister, I don't take this for granted. You guys are facing me. It makes it so much easier to present the word of God to you. Someone greeted you at the door. Why is that? Oh, we're getting your heart ready to receive the word of God, right? Someone greets you. You come to church in the morning. We don't know what kind of a day you've had, what kind of a week you've had, but we want you to know as soon as we see you, we are so glad you came. Why? Because we know if you can get in contact with the word of God, your life will completely change. And then when your life changes, all of a sudden, everyone around you will change. And then the people around you, then their life will change. And then the people around them, right? Pastor Jim can't get a hold of every single person in your life, but you can. And so what are we doing? We're greeting. We're so glad you came. Why? Because we know if you'll hear the word of God, it'll change your life. We have some music. Why is that? Because we want to show off our music skills? No. We're getting your heart ready to receive the word of God. Do you see that? So the ministry of helps is everything that goes on in the church aside from the actual preaching of the word of God. Did you get some coffee this morning? Anybody get some coffee? Hopefully we're getting your heart ready to receive the word of God. Right? Shelley went and took the kids, right? And that helps us receive the word of God. And then we're breaking it down for them. They're getting to, do you see that? So what we're doing is we're magnifying what God has done. We're magnifying the word of God. But then we come right in. He allows us, gives us the privilege to be involved in his kingdom. Amen. If he would have wanted to, he could have left Jesus on the earth for the last 2,000 years. Jesus could have witnessed to every single generation. We'd just be getting up all kinds of plane trips and taking people to Israel. You know, have you been to Israel? Have you been to Israel? But instead, Jesus said, no, I am leaving. I am going away. We are going to do this together. And God has confidence in you that you'll do your part. And Jesus said, I'm actually going to heaven. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Do you know what he called the Holy Spirit? He called him the Helper. He said, the Helper is going to come. It's even the name that God gave himself of what he's doing in the work. The Helper is going to come and he is going to help. So when you get involved in the church, we are not talking about busy work just to keep you busy. We're not talking about something that the pastor just doesn't want to do, these little things. No, we're talking about that when you get involved in the church, you are grabbing on to the purpose, to the plan of God. So one of the reasons for getting involved in the ministry of helps is it helps the message. Another reason to help is because it allows us to come alongside of the leader, of the pastor, and we'll take the simple tasks from him, allows him to focus on hearing the word of God and presenting the word of God. Why? Because it's the word of God that makes the difference. It's not the cup of coffee that changes your life. It's the word of God that came. And everything else we do in the church, we're trying to open up your heart. And so out on the road, Pastor Jim referred to it. I still find myself out there teaching on helps, but then I'll even go find projects to go help. I got a friend down in Georgia who's got a ministry. He goes into public schools. He has a one-hour program. It's a big program. They come in and set up a big stage. They go into all kinds of high schools in Georgia, northern Florida. And so they go into these small towns. You know, haven't seen any. This is usually the biggest thing to come to this town. And they've got lights and they got a band and a big stage. And they have a one-hour program during school hours. And it's all about get a vision. It's a positive message. Get a vision for your life. Be somebody. Do something. Have some good friends. You know, do your best in school. And it goes from just a skit, a song, a drama. It's just fast moving, just for kids today. And then he tells them, now come back tonight. We're going to give away. We're going to do some giveaways. Bring your parents. And then in the evenings, the same location, after hours, then my friend tells them, here's why we have a vision for our life. It's Jesus Christ. And so then again, it's a skit, it's a song, it's a drama. And generally we get, it's right at 11, 12% of the crowd gets born again. And so then I just come alongside in between meetings. You know, you preach, as a preacher, you preach on a Sunday, preach on a Wednesday. I just keep traveling around. Last week I was in Ohio. Weekend before that I was in South Florida, you know. Actually 2 weeks before that, we preached in California on Skype, you know, just from my living room in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You know, that was kind of unique. We had a good time doing that. A couple weeks before that, I was in Kentucky. So I'm just traveling all over the country in addition to preaching. I'm looking for these opportunities. So when I come to help my friend, I'm just helping alongside. Why? Because I'm getting to know the people. I love working with people. A friend of mine has a summer camp down in Florida. Get about 1,200 kids, and so I'll volunteer the whole week down there just to work alongside of him and just to help him out. It's a heart attitude. That's right. You know, it's not like, well, I've done all this before, and thank God I don't have to do this again anymore. Helps as it gives you the opportunity to just keep humbling yourself, and then God begins to use everything that you're doing, everything that you're working with. Let me show you this. If we'll define this, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Let me show you. I'm throwing this term out, but I want you to see where I get it from. It's from the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. We'll read 27 and 28. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. God has appointed these in the church. Let me back up. Who appointed these in the church? Everybody have that in your Bible? God, right? God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healings, helps, everyone say helps, administrations, everyone say administrations, I believe the King James Version says governments, and varieties of tongues. So this is not an exhaustive list, but this is a list of what God placed in the church. And I want you to see here, in addition to putting the pastors, right, we know about the ministries. We can all agree, yes, God put the pastor in the church. He put the apostle. He put the prophet. But the Bible here in verse 27, 28 also says God put in the church helps and governments. You look up these two words in other translations. One translation says helpers. Well, that kind of makes sense. That's easy to see, isn't it? God placed helpers in the church. God didn't just place the man who's going to preach. The woman who's going to preach, he put helpers in the church to come alongside. This is godly. Another translation reads assistants. Another translation says organizers. We got any organizers in here? And people like to organize things? Yeah. Usually got about the same quantity, same percentage of people. Organizers have been placed in the church. Man, the church is a place for your gifts and talents. We need you. We want you. Another translation reads, the tailor, I love this one. It says, God has placed in the church those who can get others to work together. Boy, don't you love that? People have been placed in the church who have an ability to work with others, right? Do you realize how different we are in the church? Do you realize even in this group, sometimes, you know, we laugh about this, joke about this, but you come into the church and people always have questions. Well, how come we're singing those songs? Right? And then someone else has got an idea. Oh, I think we need to sing more songs. Right? I think we ought to sing more songs. And then somebody else says, well, I think we're singing plenty of songs. I think we ought to just sing two songs. And I think we're, you know, you've been there before, you know. And then someone else in the church says, well, I think the music needs to be a little louder. I think we should, you know. And then someone else says, I think the music's loud enough. And then somebody else says, well, how come we've got these chairs? I think the chairs should face this direction. And somebody says, well, I think the chairs should face that. I think we should face this way, you know. How come we meet at 10:30? I think we should meet at 10:15. And somebody else says, I think we should meet at 11:30. And we have all these differences in the church, and yet the Bible says God has placed all of us together. helpers working together, working for the, again, for the ministry of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that makes a difference. Amen. That's what we want. Mm-hmm. Give you a story. Let's look at this in the Old Testament. I want to show you the ministry of helps in action. Exodus chapter 35. Exodus 35, begin reading in verse 30. So Moses, leading the children of Israel, he's led them out of slavery, out of Egypt. And God has given him a project to do. But he didn't leave Moses on his own to do the work. Verse 30, Moses said to the children of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. He has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship to design artistic works, to work in gold, silver, bronze, and cutting jewels for setting, and carving wood, to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. He has put in his heart the ability to teach in him and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with skill to do all manner of work of the engraver, the designer, the tapestry maker, in blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine linen, of the weaver, those who do every work, and those who design artistic works." For the work of the temple, God spoke, and there's another part in Hebrew, in Hebrews, where God told us, he laid it out to Moses, "See to it that you do the work exactly as I have told you, shown you to do it." But God did not leave Moses on his own. He brought people alongside. And I want you to see here that the Word of God says that they were anointed not just to preach. The anointing is not just for when you stand and give the word. We see here that God anointed these men to work with their hands. There's something dynamic about that. See, we want to give the pulpit. Well, surely we all agree that the man of God is anointed to preach, right? But anointed to work, yes. And I want you to see here in the beginning of the passage that we read, Moses even told the people, "See, the Lord has anointed." Evidently, that ability was evident to everyone around. And so when we connect these helpers in the church, God has brought the helpers. Oh, come on now. He's also anointed the helpers. And so when I learned that there was like an anointing, I began to work with the Holy Spirit when I was out cutting the grass. He began to teach me how to give my best. When I'm planting the flowers, when I'm setting up the tables and chairs, I'm recognizing it's the anointing. Do you know that it's the same Holy Ghost? It's that same sense, that anointing, when he would give me a good idea on how to set something up. It's the same sense when I'm up teaching and he gives me a point to teach on. It's the same Holy Ghost. I told you about the summer camp. There's a friend of mine, he's a youth minister. So we go together and we usher. And so we're not preaching at the camp. We serve as ushers. But it's so great to see, because there's a time in the service where I sense in my heart, I think the minister is about to pray for a bunch of kids. I'm an usher. The Holy Ghost is letting me know I'm in place. I think there's something going on. I think I need to be down front. Boy, if you're ushering, if you're working in children's, if you're cleaning, whatever you're doing in the church, be listening for the Holy Ghost. He's going to give you a good idea. And I find myself moving down front. As an usher, I'm moving down front. I'm not making a scene, but I'm ready to go. And the minister says, "I want to pray for." I'm right in place. I'm right in line. And guess who's across the aisle from me? My friend. The other usher, the youth minister, he's got the same Holy Ghost is telling him. And it's great, because we even talked about it after one service, that there were two, three altar calls, and then something on the inside, I think I'm done. I think that's it. I think that's what the Holy Ghost had for us. And I step back, and sure enough, the minister says, I think that's all we're going to go ahead and dismiss. And the Holy Ghost, He is anointing people to do the work. He's anointing you to help. Let me show you this in the New Testament. Let's go to Acts chapter 6. I love teaching on helps. I love being involved in the ministry of helps. I think helps is one of the best ways for us to show people how to live out the godly life. See, you come on a Sunday morning and you get something from the Word of God. You get something from the music. What do we do with it? We've got to learn how to walk it out. He's not just the God of Sunday. He's the God of your Monday, your Tuesday, when it seems like everything falls apart, right? Amen. He's not the God just when you come to. He's the God when you go to work. Erica, she works at a bank. She's a branch manager in downtown Tulsa. So we've just been talking, and so she got a new position. Man, we just took some oil and just real quietly, just kind of keep it to ourselves, went and just anointed every door. We're claiming this bank for the kingdom of God. What's that? What's happening at your job? Are you a teacher? Do you work with people? Man, you can just pray. And so even a month ago, I came down and had lunch with her, and it just seemed good on the inside of us to go past the actual physical building. We walked around the parking lot. We walked around the streets in the name of Jesus. The authority that's been given to us as born-again believers, we just plead the blood of Jesus over every plant, every person who comes into the bank in the name of Jesus. See, the Holy Ghost will help you in your life, every day of your life. Getting involved in the ministry of helps gives us that opportunity of understanding how to work with that, understanding how to float. In Acts chapter 6, I'm going to read here, starting in verse 1, we've got a New Testament story of the ministry of helps. Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. They're talking about serving food. Serve food every day. The number begins to grow. Not everyone's getting a meal. And so the group came together and said, we need some more help in the kitchen. Verse 2, then the 12, it's talking about the disciples. This is the leaders of the church. The 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So when the group came to them and said, listen, we need help, we need more people, the disciples rightly said, you know, we still need to be spending time reading the Word of God and praying. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to find people to come help us. That way we can continually devote our time. The ministry of helps comes alongside, takes the simple tasks from the minister so he can play golf. Right? He can just go hang out and go to the movies. No. His job is to get into the Word of God. Come on now. The Word of God is what is going to change us. And so when we come alongside to help him, it allows him to get that Word of God that we need. Verse 5, the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. I want you to notice here that in the New Testament church, the Holy Ghost wrote out, and here we are reading today, the number of people, and we know by name who worked in the kitchen. Do you understand what the list was? This is not the list of the prophets, the missionaries. This is the guy that worked in the kitchen. The Holy Ghost determined that this is important. I want you to know by name who was carving up the potatoes, serving the meat, doing the dishes. See, this shows us the importance of the ministry of helps. Holy Ghost could have easily said, and then the preacher came, and another preacher came, and a bunch of people did something in the back. We don't really know what they did. And then another preacher came. No, the Holy Ghost said, I want you to know who worked behind the scenes. This is important to me. It's the helper revealing other helpers. And then I want you to see here that the story says that they called these people by name. Will the following individuals please come forward in the midst of the entire congregation? And the Bible says that they laid their hands on them and prayed for them. Now, we've done this before for missionaries, right? So-and-so is going on a trip. So-and-so is going to be a missionary, and we'd like them to come forward. And everybody agrees, yes, let's pray for them. But in this story in the New Testament church, they said, will the following people come forward? And they prayed hands on them. And then the leader sent them forth and said, now that we've prayed for you, now go into the kitchen. This is a big deal to God. He sent them forth.
Amen.
Let's look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, there's a place for every single one of you. We need everybody. In Ephesians chapter 4, we see just another brief list. Verse 11. We're going to read down through verse 16, Ephesians 4, 11. He himself, this is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. See, we didn't pick this. Jesus Christ established that. Pastor Jim and Shelley didn't win a lottery. Didn't choose. Would you like to be an accountant or would you like to be a pastor? They chose whether to agree with it. They chose whether to get training and to develop that and to be obedient. You have the opportunity also. God has put gifts on the inside of you. Why did they do the gifts? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. Everybody say grow up. Do you see the picture Paul is painting here? One phrase he said, don't be like children anymore. I want you to grow. And he says here, he's given us a picture of people who are growing. See, you got born again, but that wasn't just the end of it. Now you begin to grow. Speaking in the truth and love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working. Everyone say it, effective working. The effective working by which every part, everyone say every part. Every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. A couple of weeks, we're going to have Thanksgiving. One of my favorite holidays. Even from growing up as a boy, I don't know why, I just loved it. I'm a meat and potatoes guy. Got a whole day we're taking off and we're going to eat a lot of meat and potatoes, I'm in. And then there's football on the rest of the day. And then growing up as a kid, you know, you don't have school on Friday and Saturday. It's like one of the best holidays. And we're all grateful, love Thanksgiving. I am the youngest of four. I've got three older sisters. And so for years, Thanksgiving was great. All the girls were busy. You know, mom got them busy doing stuff. And me, I'm the youngest. I'm the boy. I just come in and eat. Thank you very much. I'm going to pass out on the couch. And when I wake up, I'm probably going to have a little more meat and potatoes. And so as we're growing up and developing, I am watching. I, like any good sibling, I'm noticing, wow, sisters. At one point, sisters are doing a lot for Thanksgiving. Me? Nothing. Love it. Now, I'm very sharp. I'm very quick. And I recognized early on, man, this is the life. This is the gig here. And so now, you know, as we develop, you know, more years go by, all of a sudden, as wonderful as siblings are, they start to complain to the parents. Brother needs to do something, you know. I know he's the youngest, but he needs to contribute. So the family came to me and said, you know, can you contribute? Can you help us out? You know, what can you do? They asked me to bring some ice, bag of ice, and some soda. Bring some pop. One bag of ice wasn't enough. I had to go back to the store, get another bag of ice. I bring soda. You know, one year I bring my favorite. I love Coke. I love Pepsi. And so that's all that we had, you know. I do it again the next year, and then they said to me, well, can you bring an additional bag of ice, and have you thought about asking what everyone else would like to drink, maybe? I'm an organizer. Hold on. Let me write this down. What would everyone else like to drink? One sister's doing the turkey. Another sister is baking pies. Another sister is, like, doing vegetable casseroles. Me, for a decade or more, bag of ice and a couple of 2 liters of pop. I'm in. My whole contribution is like 3 minutes at the Walmart, you know. You need another bag of ice. Oh, man, I got to go back to the store. And then sometime in my 20s, my sisters found out I knew how to make mashed potatoes. The jig is up. I've been doing potatoes every year since then. They found out that I could do more. At this point now, being in my early 40s, this point in my career, I have helped with the turkey. I did the turkey last year. I'm about to do the turkey again this year. I learned how to carve the turkey. Years ago, I had a brother-in-law come to me, you know, right after dinner and say, hey, we'll go do the dishes. Do the dishes? Are you kidding me? I've got sisters. What are you talking about? Well, we went in and we did the Thanksgiving dishes. They taught me how to carve the turkey, you know? And so at this point in my career, I show up early. Really? The holiday, the day off. I'm there hours early, just pitching in wherever I can, just making sure, you know, what can I do with the turkey? I'm teaching my nephews how to carve the turkey. 1 year I got my nephews, the 3 nephews, the 4 of us did the dishes 1 year. That made all the girls nervous. It's like the nice china, you know? And they were like all just kind of watching us through the doors. Be careful with that china. You know, I'm washing. The next one is rinsing. The next one is drying. The last one's putting it away. In my family, we all pitch in together. Even my niece, when my niece was little, you know, all she could do is put some ice in the jars and in the glasses. That's what she was doing. So now we're all pitching in. We're all doing something. I'm not sure about your house, but in my house, somebody does the turkey, somebody else does the vegetable, somebody else does the potatoes, someone else. 6 of us try to do the rolls. We always burn the rolls every year, maybe because we got too many people watching the rolls, you know. We all sit down and everybody's, oh, the rolls. We come in there and they're always, that's a Fleming tradition. It wouldn't be Thanksgiving without burned rolls on the bottom. You know, you gotta peel it away, you know. We all pitch in, and then after dinner, not one person gets up and does all the work. We all just kind of grab a couple. 3-4 people are in the kitchen doing the dishes. Awesome. That's the way it is in my house. Is that the way it is in your house? This is the picture Paul is painting in Ephesians chapter 4. Let me read this again to you. Ephesians 4. Let's read these verses just at the end. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, the whole family, the whole church, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every, come on now, look around, everybody around here, every part does its share, causes growth of the body. Come on. As we begin to grow up, see, when I was a child, I didn't have to do much. But as I began to grow, I began to get more involved. See, there's some people in the church that are like me as a child. You're just showing up on Sunday. Man, I love this. This is great. Let's do it again next week. And you just come next week. At some point, though, we are going to ask you, can you bring a bag of ice. There's a place for everybody. There's something for everyone in here. The Holy Ghost is putting a team together. Pastor Jim, just when you started to sing this morning, man, I just felt in my heart, just immediately, as soon as we started to sing and to praise, I felt in my heart that there's building blocks that are coming. He is gathering, building, and what I felt like, it was something significant. There are people coming to this church. And so God is going to continue to build this work together. There's building blocks that are coming. The Holy Ghost is doing something big. He's doing something great here. Man, I just sense it every time I come in my heart. I am just so excited to come and to be a part of this. God is doing something great right here. You've got the opportunity to get in on the ground floor. You know what I mean, brother? When we talk about you getting involved, we're not going to ask you, can you do the whole turkey and the potatoes and the stuffing and the dishes, right? One person would do all that work at Thanksgiving. We're not doing Thanksgiving ever again, right? I'm not doing that again. I did that one time. See, it's the same way in the church. We're going to break this down. We're going to ask you, can you get involved? I didn't start with the turkey. I started with a bag of ice. And the ministry of helps, there is room for every single person. And notice he said there, as the body gets involved, it causes the growth, the church begins to grow. If we would look back there at that story in Acts chapter 6, the very next verses, after everybody got in place, in line, it says the word of God began to increase, that a number of the disciples began to increase, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. What happened back there affected what happened in the pulpit. The church began to grow. So we just wanted to encourage you just a little bit here this morning. There's a place for you. We need you. You've got gifts and talents on the inside. Just present yourself to God. Come on in and get involved. You're going to find something. Just pitch in. Just grab it and do it. Come alongside and help us out.